You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Oh man, everybody, do my ears and eyes deceive me? Is it really Saturday? I think it is, and that means we are here with another edition of the AME Radio Show. I'm your host, Jason Dowd, and this is a show that is a voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. Thank you for coming here and spending some time with us. It's Saturday. We're having a lot of fun. We got some cool stuff going on today. We got a couple of great guests we're going to be talking to, and so much more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy, because we got a lot to cover in a little bit of time. So first, before we get into anything, please check out our websites, www.theamemagazine.com. There you'll see links to all of our social media networks. You'll also be able to download our apps from Apple and Android. You'll also be able to see what we have coming up and what we've been doing and so much more on there. And there's just a lot of stuff to go check out, so go check it out when you get a chance. Okay, so let me go over really quickly who we have coming up, and then we're going to go over what we're going to be talking about today. So first of all, we have Detranada, and she is a 15-year-old who's competed on Lifetime's Jermaine Dupri's The Rap Game, and we're going to be talking to her about her success on that particular show and what it's done for her career afterwards and where she's going and what she's so passionate about. So we're going to be talking to her about a lot of different stuff. And then we have Duchesne Band coming on. They are a country music band who just released their newest single, Forever For Now. We're going to be hearing about his ventures in the music industry. Now, we're going from rap to country, so we got a diverse sound today, which is going to be a lot of fun. I like to have that little diversity and, you know, breaks it up and it gives something for everybody. So, two great guests. Believe me, these guests are going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so we have some news to kind of go over with in the entertainment industry. First of all, they found the Deadliest Catch star Blake Painter dead this week at the age of 38. No news of what caused it yet, but he is unfortunately deceased, and he died so young, you know. As I just hope it isn't anything to do with drugs or anything like that, because when you see these people that have passed away way before their prime in the entertainment industry, sometimes it leads to that. I'm hoping that it was just something natural, and you know, unfortunately, whatever it may be, it's going to be painful for the family. So we our best regards to the family of Blake. Also, Roseanne decided to open up her mouth again, and it got her show canceled after the first season. Actually, I don't even think the first season's over with yet. And that was for a racial slur she threw at Valerie Jarrett. Now, are we really surprised about this? I mean, come on. It's Roseanne. I mean, if you expected her to be politically correct, you are completely insane. This woman has never been politically correct. And remember, she was the one that sang the national anthem at the Reds game, where she sang horribly, then grabbed her crotch and spit on the ground afterwards. So you got to really look at the source. I mean, is this really worth somebody getting their show canceled over? You know, I have seen so many horrible things that have gone on for both sides of the aisle, where the left have you know, attack the right, the right's attack the left, but it seems like only the people that attack the left get shut down. I don't understand that, but really, come on, people, it's Roseanne. Did you expect anything less? So, I don't know, with her show just being canceled after the first kind of start, it may be possible for another network to pick it up, but I don't know how that's going to go. So, unfortunately, we may have to say goodbye to Roseanne after a long stint of being away, and now it's going to be gone just as fast as it came. Okay, so what I want to talk to you guys about today is something kind of fun. And this week was Memorial Day, and during Memorial Day, I got to watch a Three Stooges marathon. I love the Three Stooges. I remember growing up around the time of, usually New Year's Eve. The Channel 38 out of Boston would always have a Three Stooges marathon on that would go from about 6 o'clock at night to midnight, sometimes past midnight, well into the new year. And I used to do that from 1985 to 1989. I loved it. It was one of my favorite traditions. I grew up loving the Three Stooges. And, you know, they really kind of set the bar for a lot of slapstick comedy and the way that we perceive Schwartz today. And obviously part of that time was Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello and all these other greats that have made it as well. But the Three Stooges have that special place in somebody's heart, and they are played more. They're just a lovable bunch of comedians. And I got to think about this a little bit. You know, do we really know anything about the Three Stooges? I mean, what do we know about them? Well, I'm going to kind of go over some things that I found out online. First of all, Moe, Shemp, and Curly are actually brothers in real life. They were born and raised in Manhattan, and they actually, some of them didn't know that they were going to be in performing because they kind of started off with vaudeville, but some of them did. Moe was one of them that did. Now, think about this. The very first show featured Curly, Moe, and Larry, okay? Shemp wasn't even a part of this at the time. So, who's the older brother? Is it Moe? Is it Curly? Or is it Shemp? Well, you may be interested to find out that the oldest one is actually Shemp. He was born March 11 of 1895, whereas Moe was born June 19th of 1897. So actually, Shemp is about 2 years older than Moe is. Curly, on the other hand, is the youngest brother who was born in 1903. Now, out of all the brothers, believe it or not, the youngest one to die was Curly. He died first. He died in 1952 of intercerebral hemorrhage. Now, there was a problem with Curly, and Moe tried to take care of him. I guess it was either he was addicted to something, whether it be alcohol or something, but he was the one that would go out and just spend. And Moe tried to do whatever he could to protect his little brother, so he tried to invest his money in things so that way he wouldn't, you know, be a complete wreck after the shows were done. But unfortunately, it wasn't too long after the Three Stooges, because they were still kind of going in the 1950s, that he passed away. So then's when they brought in Shemp. Shemp was the second one to then perform as a Three Stooges. But he also kind of worked in throughout the time of Moe, Larry, and Curly. So if Curly couldn't do something, Shemp would fit in for them. Now, we also know that Larry happens to be the only one that wasn't a physical relative of the Three Stooges, but he was there from the very first episode on. Now, what is the very first episode of the Three Stooges? Now, they did a lot of vaudeville, so they did a lot of live stuff, but they also did some stuff where they did, like, full-length movies. This one here, the first short was actually Woman Haters, which aired in 1934. And what's interesting about this is it featured Marjorie White. Now, here's the funny part, the sad part about Marjorie White. Marjorie White died a year later after this particular episode aired. She died in a car accident. So that was a really tragic type of situation for her because she was only 38 years old. She died in 1935. Now, all of them died before the 1980s. So the first one to die, obviously, was Curly. He died in 1952. And he performed with the Three Stooges from 1925 to 1947. Moe happened to live from June 19th, 1897, and he died May 4th, 1975. He died in Los Angeles. Curly died in Los Angeles. And also, Larry Fine, who was born in 1902, he died in 1975 in Los Angeles as well. And let's just go with Joe. You remember the two Joes. There was actually two different Joes. You kind of remember them. They weren't as popular as Shemp or Curly, but they did fill in for Shemp and Curly after those two stopped performing. And Joe DeRitta, who was actually the very first Joe, he was born in 1909 and died in 1993. And Joe Besner, who was the other more popular Joe, he died. He was born in 1907 and died in 1988. So the one that we know the most, and you probably see him more in the shorts, was Joe Besner. But the last one to die out of the Three Stooges, you know, trio was actually Joe DeRitta. And he actually kind of looked a little bit more like Curly than Joe Besner did. So that was kind of weird in itself. I kind of thought it was just a fatter Curly. So that was kind of interesting in itself. And one of the things that I found very interesting about the Three Stooges, none of them were very tall. Joe DiRitta was 5'4". Joe Besner is, actually it doesn't say how tall he was. Shemp was only 5'5". Larry Howard was 5'4". Curly Howard was 5'5". And Moe was 5'3". So Moe was actually the smallest of the Three Stooges. Now, when you look at them on TV, they look so much bigger. But they were really kind of tiny. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, that was one of the things that kind of shocked me the most about the Three Stooges is how tiny they were. But you know what? They are a phenomenal group together and iconic in so many ways. So if you had a chance to see the Three Stooges, go check them out on television. If you ever get a chance, go see their movies on YouTube, or you can find them on Netflix or something like that. But man, that's classic Hollywood right there. All right, guys, that's all I have for you right now. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have Detronata on the line, and we're going to be hearing her song Box after her interview. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual, fantasy creatures, or urban legends? Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hey guys, it's Lily Mae Silverstein playing Penny in my new movie, Alex and Me, which will come out digitally on June 19th, so go check it out.
Hey, it's your girl, Alicia G, on AME Radio. Be sure to listen to my new song, Cash and Nap, and be sure to follow me on all my social media at Alicia G World. Love y'all.
Welcome back, everybody. We have on line with us our special guest. Her name is Detronata. At the age of 15, she was selected to compete in Lifetime's third season of Jermaine Dupri's The Rap Game, and she has taken the world by storm since then. She actually came in second place in that, and we're excited to be able to talk to her about everything that she loves about music and what she has scheduled for herself and so much more. So welcome, Detronata. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. So tell me a little bit about this. Tell me a little bit about how you got into this.
I started rapping really when I was around 11 years old. I used to get bullied in school, and I didn't really have an outlet for expressing my emotions, so I got into writing poetry, and after a while, I realized I could put the poetry to a beat, and that's how I became a rapper.
Wow. So you really did it kind of early then. That's incredible, because, I mean, you know, it's hard for people to even at any age to write poetry, so to be able to write it at your age and still put a beat to it, that's impressive.
Right. Thank you.
So, what do you love the most about rap?
The most I love about rap is, like, rap comes in many forms. Like, there isn't one type of rapper. Like, there's the hype rapper, there's the lyrical rapper. Like, it's so much, like, variations of this genre, and you can take your craft anywhere with it, and that's why I really like rap out of all these other genres.
Do you listen to some of the old-fashioned rap from, the 80s and early 90s? Because that's actually some of my favorite versions of it.
Yeah. I actually grew up on Rakim, Tyler Kweli, Wu-Tang, Lauryn Hill, all of that. So I still listen to those.
You know, it's amazing how much it has changed over the years. Because like I said, I remember listening to it since it was like way in the 80s. And it's just amazing to see how it's evolved over the years and people's interpretation of how it should sound.
Right, it's dope.
So, how did you come up to the ability to go for this particular Lifetime show?
I actually got on the show because I was doing, like, I saw the TV show. I watched the first season. I tried getting on the second season, but they never called me back. So, I didn't really try for the third season. I just, like, uploaded my rap videos, hashtagged a lot of things. And after a while, the producers of the rap game hit me up and was like, what's your name? Where are you from? Do you want to go to Atlanta? And then soon after, like a week after that conversation, I got the phone call and I was in Atlanta.
Wow. Where are you from actually? Where were you born and raised?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, wow. I've been to Baltimore. I love that city. It's a great city.
Yeah.
So what was it like to go in front of the panel and everything else and actually do the audition in Atlanta? What went through your mind?
At first, it was nerve-wracking because, like, there was other kids on the show that done performances and been in front of celebrities. So being in front of that at first, it was kind of, like, scary. But after a while, I was like, they wanted me here. So all I can do is do my best and show them what I have.
So did it give you the same type of feeling as, like, you know, American Idol? I mean, we've all seen it on the backside of it, where you come up there and, you know, you go through the door and you get stared down by a bunch of judges and stuff like that. Was it the same type of situation?
It was kind of like that, but American Idol, you got to try out. You know, we already made it there. It's just at that point, as soon as we got there, we had to prove why they even picked us in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, it was more of a one-on-one type situation. Like, JD he wasn't really able to talk to us individually, but as, like, a collective, it was kind of like rap class, and JD was kind of, like, teaching the ropes of how the industry works.
So you don't go out there and you're not doing an audition like American Idol. So is there still a chance that you won't make it if they bring you into that particular section?
If you bring, like, if you're brought there, really, it's a chance that you might get sent home. Because, like, if they picked you and they see the fire that you have on, say, Instagram or YouTube, and you come there and you show the complete opposite, they're just going to think you're catfishing. So you will be sent home if you don't show what you were showing on the internet.
I gotcha. So, what's it like to go out and actually compete on TV? I mean, that's got to be a thrill in itself, because I've never had the chance to do anything like that. But, I mean, singing in front of a couple people is one thing, but going out and singing in front of millions of people that are watching you and stuff, that has got to be an exhilarating experience.
Yeah, at first it didn't really, like, at first it felt kind of like, dang, what do I do? I'm in front of a camera. Do I move like this? Do I talk like this? But after a while, it's just natural. It's just like, they got you here because you were acting the way that you really are. So once I got there and just, like, got used to, like, cameras being in my face as soon as I wake up, it was just natural. Like, everything was just natural.
When you saw yourself on TV, what went through your head?
I don't know. It was kind of like, I already knew what happened because the series was pre-recorded before the public sees it.
Right.
But, like, it was crazy because I always wanted to be on TV, and, like being in school, people telling me, oh, you ain't going to get here, and they're the same ones at home watching me on their television. Like, it just feels amazing.
So you can kind of slap them in the face and say, you know, you didn't believe in me now, so, you know, look where I went anyways.
Right.
But still, you know, the reason I ask that is because, you know, when I was younger, I went in, I used to record myself on cassette tapes, you know, and I'd sit there and play it back, and it's like, wow, that does not sound like me at all. You know, so I can only imagine what it would be like for the first time to see yourself on television, hear yourself, and then it's like, is that me? I mean, did it sound like you? How did it come across to you like that?
I was surprised at, like, facial expressions I make, because, like, I didn't know that I'm so animated, even when I'm not talking. Like, I didn't know that my face expresses so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, seeing how they edited, like, some of my reactions where it didn't happen, or how they tried to make, like, a storyline out of the clips and, like, placing them in different places, it was kind of like, I mean, what was going on? But I was really surprised about like the moments where they like zoomed in on my face and I was doing something crazy.
So now that you've gone through this particular show, you can look back at some of the things that you've done. Where do you see yourself growing since that show?
I've grown so much since then. I recorded it back in 2016 to 2018 now, and I released a mixtape, a project, and I'm on my second project now. And just having so much response and building a fan base in such little time, and communicating with celebrities I never thought I would communicate with, and like in that span of time, it's just crazy for me. And from then on, from now, like I just see myself like accelerating with my career.
So how do you build a fan base if you don't have the contracts by these large, you know, recording companies behind you to do social media for you and all these other things? How do you go out and how have you built your fan base?
It's all about star power for real. Like when I first was introduced to the public, people were attracted to how real I was when it came to situations. Like I'm not the type of person that'll like put on a facade. So when people saw how like raw I was and how emotional I was with my craft and passionate about that, like people crashed onto me. And the way that I interact with my social media, I'm real like intimate with my fans. Like I really like talking to my fans, going live with my fans. So people just gravitated towards me out of everybody else.
And that's led you to do some pretty amazing things. And one of the songs, I actually got one of your music videos through email called Box. Talk to me a little bit about that particular song that you wrote.
My song Box off of my first project called Adolescence Film, I dropped it on my 16th birthday. It's mostly about like how I'm coming into the rap game and how I grinded to get to where I am now. Cause I used to have a little bit of friends, but after I started like putting my foot down, like I want to think for myself. I don't want to fit in no more. I just want to be me. I've lost friends. So when I said, who would have thought I'd lose my circle just for thinking on the Box, that really describes that.
What was your favorite part about recording that music video?
The favorite part about recording the music video is J.I., he was on The Rat Game Season 2. Mm-hmm. I was in his city, I was in New York, and him and his mom knew all the dope spots to go for the music video. So when they were driving us around, giving us kind of like a tour of New York, that was a real fun part. And being in front of an abandoned house, just shooting it the way that it came out, it was just so fun to do, even though it was so cold outside.
Well, you look like you had fun. That was what was so fun about the music video. But you know, I did recognize that New York style, you know, just with the background and stuff, because I used to go to New York all the time. I love New York, and you know, they got some of the best backgrounds that you don't really have to do a lot to get to. You know what I mean? That's what I love about New York.
Right, that's a beautiful city.
So where do you see yourself growing from this point on? Obviously, you did a couple projects. You did this. What do you have coming up that is in the work? Are you working on a full-length LP or EP or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm working on a full-length album called D-Verse Everybody. It's going to have a number of features, a number of producers on it, and I just really want to sit down and spend more time on this project than I did with Adolescent Swim, because Adolescent Swim was made in 5 days. So wow. This one I've really been writing for the past couple months, just getting my craft together, because Adolescent Swim was like how I was coming into the game 15 years old, but now I'm going on 17, and I just want to show people how I've grown and like how my mindset changed since I first stepped in.
Have the producers that you've worked with and maybe some of the people that have walked in your same shoes giving you any advice to help you out with this particular album, and if so, what is some of that, and how have you decided to implement that in your work?
Really, like, even people that's not going to be featured on my album, like just close people, they just say don't like take a hit. Like, it's people that try too hard to make like a song that everybody's gonna like. This one I'm just more laid back, doing what comes naturally. Adolescent Swim, I just wanted to make radio friendly music, which is fun all the time in my local radio station. But this time I just want to be really, really authentic with how I craft my music this time. So that's what everybody else was saying. Just don't rush it. Just take your time when it comes to music.
You know what? That's probably some of the best advice I've ever heard, because I've seen people that have wanted to be an actor or actress, or, you know, they fly out to Hollywood, they force it really hard, and, you know, because they're looking for the fame and the fortune at the same time, but it may not come right away, and then they get discouraged. Same thing with musicians, you know, if you try to force something, it's never going to come out as genuine as it is. As a photographer myself, sometimes the best pictures I get are the ones where I'm not telling somebody to pose somewhere. So I see that now. You know, I've seen that through my own career and seeing other people go through theirs. That's some powerful advice.
Yeah, that's really like the smartest thing that I ever heard. Because it's like, if you think about it, it makes sense. Like, if you stress about it, of course it's not going to turn out how you actually want it to be. But if you just let it flow, then everything just comes to place.
And when this album comes out, what are you planning on doing with it? Are you planning on doing some types of national tours? Are you going to just do some music videos? Are you going to do some, how are you going to promote it and some of the things that you have in store for that when it does drop?
Me and my team are coming up with ways to promote it. I got creative ideas that I can't wait to show. I want to leave it as a surprise until I actually do it. But I'm going to release it on iTunes, like all the media outlets. And music videos, make sure they drop consistently and actually go on the tour. Yeah, I was thinking about going on the tour this year, next year.
And if you got to open for or go on tour with anybody, what are some of the names that you would just absolutely love to be on tour with?
I would actually love to be on tour with Chris Brown, because I'm a big fan of Chris Brown, and I went to his party tour last year. And it just seemed like everybody who was on his tour had so much fun. And it was packed out every night. All these shows were sold out. And just having that experience, like, all day, every day on tour for, like, a month, that would be amazing.
Hmm. What do you hope that people take away after listening to your music, whether it be Box, your first stuff, and stuff that you're working on now? What do you want them to be able to take away from it?
I want people to take away from my music is the fact that you could be yourself. It's okay with being yourself. It doesn't matter if you're weird. It doesn't matter what you are, who you are, what you look like. Like, as long as you be yourself, can't nobody really be mad at you for being true to yourself.
That's true. And, of course, you hope that they get some entertainment value out of it as well, I'm sure.
Right, of course, of course.
So, I do want to get your song on here. We are going to play Box, but before we go to that, tell everybody how they can find your music, how they can follow you, and anything else that you want to promote, social media networks, websites, whatever it may be.
Okay, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on YouTube at Detranada, DeeTranada. Follow me on Twitter, which is my name backwards. I'm not spelling it out, just put my name backwards. But all my music is on all music outlets, the free ones, the paid for ones, is just my name.
Well, you know, it's so inspiring to see that you took a bad situation, used some art to get out of it and make something for yourself, and it's working. And, you know, all the success that you've had already, you're still young. That's fantastic. I wish you all the best. I know more is going to come your way, and, you know, if you just keep on pursuing it and doing what you love, and I know you're going to do that. So I look to see some big things out of you here in the next few years.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys, we have Box playing right now, so we're going to go to that. And then after that, we have a commercial break, and we'll be back after that with so much more. So don't go anywhere.
Detranada, yeah, hey, box out, yeah, box out, yo, I'm the baddest out the bunch, so you better mention me, boy. Get a stack, rack it up, pack it up, then I blow it like Leroy. People told me I'm the OG, all these others is decoys. Man, you know me, all my homies going bang where they deploy. I'm the one with the dough, like I've been up on the stove. People said that they gon' pop me, then I see them and they don't. Man, I wish that they would try, tell them hit me on a good side. Where the J, I settle Nate, I don't play, I don't. Man, I'm the best in the rap game, I ain't talking about the show. ain't saying that they rap lame, but when it come to me, I blow. Never heard this, I was kinda worthless back when I was searching, trying to find a purpose. Homie, I was hurting when I started lurking. Then I got a pencil and I started working. Y'all already know that I spit clean. Killing half of y'all at 15. Who else do y'all know that's 15? Niggas in a body bag with a 16. Half a 30, 10 away from 40. Meaning people hurting when I got the shorty. If I let it mingle, when you hear the jingle, then you say they know me as your first priority. Zero friends, all the ends. Never sad at all the pins. Only me, all of them. Take them out, all the limbs. Let it ring, call again. Injure me, sense will be. Make them lean, your own step, all again. Money up, all again. Cop a rack, blow a stack, get it back, mall again. Nah, never was the type to switch the floor for a bra. Finally got it, even like the kid combine the odds. Bro, my logic crazy, oh my goodness, oh my God. Who would've thought I'd lose my circle just for thinking out the box? Never was the type to switch the floor for a bra. Finally got it, even like the kid combine the odds. Bro, my logic crazy, oh my goodness, oh my God. Who would've thought I'd lose my circle just for thinking out? Never act, I don't play roles, no drama, I don't never break the code. That's a game mode, hold my nose high, I'm in stank mode. If you ain't close to my bankroll, don't talk to me cause you can't though. So surprised that y'all gums ain't green yet from that fake gold. How you fake sign, sold your fake soul to a fake deal with a fake pen for fake pesos. See me in public, is that D? Nah, it ain't bro. Pineapple, Fanta, Phantom, it ain't sweet though. See yo, I do not like none of y'all, like I'm Ebro. But I had to get violent just so all these dummies go quiet. They talk about how when I walk in they selling, but I would be wrong if I step and start wildin' out the television. They what with the crime and said what with the kids that was hating and trying. I'm guessing that's fine, but let you say yo from behind. I turn around, bullets fly. Nah, never was the type to switch the floor for a bra. Finally got it, even like the kid combine the odds. Bro, my logic crazy, oh my goodness, oh my God. Who would've thought I'd lose my circle just for thinking out the box? Never was the type to switch the floor for a bra. Finally got it, even like the kid combine the odds. Bro, my logic crazy, oh my goodness, oh my God. Who would've thought I'd lose my circle just for thinking out?
Box out, 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 yeah.
Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop at Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Czars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is @DowStudios, and Instagram is @JasonDow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hi, this is Crystal Hunt. I play Alicia Trisk on the new PureFlix original series, Hilton Head Island. Log on to PureFlix.com so you can stream Hilton Head Island and see me along with my mother, played by Don Mills, and my brother, played by Antonio Sabato Jr. Hope you tune in.
Hi, I'm Serena Vincent, and you're listening to the A&E Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Our next guest is the Duchesne Band. They are a country rock band who released their newest single, Forever For Now. And we're going to be talking to them about their music, their passion for their art, and what else they have in store coming up this year. So welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, how's you doing? How's everybody doing out there?
Well, I know I'm doing fine. It sounds like you're doing fine, and I hope they're doing fine, too. So
yeah.
It's nice to have you on the show.
Same here. Glad to be on it.
So let's kind of find out a little bit about you and the band and everything else. When did you get interested in music?
It goes a long way back. I think when I was a baby, father was a musician. And, of course, you know, so we really had back in the day was music in our family. Mm-hmm. You know, all the kids picked it up. We all have our father to thank for that.
So you were pretty much in the crib playing playing a guitar and everything else then, huh?
I had a one-string guitar when I first started, and, you know, I didn't know how to get the other strings or afford to buy them. So I only had a one-string guitar, and it was a big fat E string, and I learned to play Satisfaction on it. That was the first song.
Really?
Yeah. I know that sounds crazy, but, yeah, so we had a one-string guitar.
No, it doesn't sound crazy at all. I've seen people do some amazing things with just simple little things like rubber bands. I mean, I've heard them play some amazing stuff with rubber bands.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
So why did you get into like a country? I know you mix like country and rock together. What do you like about those particular genres? I mean, I'm sure you could do a lot of other things, but these seem to be your fortes. So what makes them so special for you?
Well, you know, I love country music because it's about stories. I've come to know that whenever I'm with a group of people, I'm the guy everybody looks to about a story. And I've lived a bunch, and I have a whole bunch of stories. Besides the broken hearts and the ventures that didn't work out. And, you live a lot, you have stories, and it tends to lend itself to Americana country. I've always been a fan of folk music and country music and blues and rock. And, I love the instrumentation. I love mandolins, violins, and banjos, and pedal steel, dobros. So it all kind of linked itself up together. Just to go back to the story about country music is really all about stories. And, that's why I really fell in love with the genre.
Did you fall in love with, like, the classical country stuff, like George Jones and all those other guys? Or was it more the contemporary rock country that there is now? Because I know there's a little bit of a difference. I mean, you still got that bass inside of it with the newer stuff compared to the older stuff. But the older stuff really told the stories well.
Well, you know, I've always liked country rock. Mm-hmm. You know, like The Band.
Okay.
And the Allman Brothers.
All right.
And Skinner. And, you know, we always had, like, Roy Clark when we were kids, you know. My family, we used to sit up and watch Hee Haw together. That was my earliest recollection. You know, my father was a Hank fan, and Johnny Cash. And, of course, everybody where I grew up had a passion for Elvis Presley.
Sure.
So, it was always there. And, of course, Dolly Parton. And that, to me, that's the early country. But, you know, it was a morph of all that stuff that led, you know, me to where I am today. I don't know if it was deliberate or just the fact that I've just got all these songs reeling in my head all these years that eventually you just start to acclimate to that style.
Well, it's funny that you say Allman Brothers and Elvis Presley and everything like that, because that's technically what we hear on, like, classic oldie station, and you wouldn't think that it's country, but actually early rock and roll really was a lot of country. We just didn't think of it like that, you know, and that's what's cool about it.
I mean, listen to Linda Ronstadt. Talk about a band.
Yeah.
They were, like, amazing. Linda Ronstadt's band was so great. That was early country rock. So were the Eagles, like the earlier songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Walsh is and always will be an amazing guitar player, and that guy can handle rock and country, you know, all together. You know, I mean, that was the roots for us growing up.
So, how did you form this particular band now that you have? I'm sure you probably had a couple of bands before this, but this one's the one that you're working on now. And how did you form? How did you guys meet together?
Well, I used to have a band that was on MCA Records. It was called Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
And we were primarily like a blues rock band. And, but we incorporated a lot of great organic things to it, like mandolins. And we used to get like a bunch of heating pipes, and we used to play drums off heating pipes and scrub boards. So we were kind of popular in the area. And when it came time to finding members of the band, a lot of people knew who I was, mm-hmm. and so it was easy for me to find, like, the right musicians. We have a guitar player right now that's father was in the Rascals.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah, he's you know, he's a sweetheart of a guy. But, you know, it was just a thing that people knew who I was and what I was doing. So they had asked me, are you looking for anybody? And I said, yeah, I am. And, you know, they came on board. Sweet bunch. It's a full Italian band playing country music from New York City. If that makes any sense. But, yeah, you know, that's about where we are right now.
Isn't that like the picante sauce made in New York City, but yet still tastes really good? So who cares? As long as it tastes good and sounds good.
Yep.
New York City.
I like that, yeah. It's in the water, baby. It is.
So you guys came together. Obviously, this has got to be something that, you know, works well. How have you guys worked together? I mean, do you guys write together? Is it a smooth thing when you guys write together, other than just playing?
No. Actually, it's a little bit different. You know, how do you say this without sounding like a douche? Excuse my French. But, all right, so I'm a songwriter, right?
Right.
I write 2-3 songs a day.
Okay.
So I have these ideas, and they come into my head, and I orchestrate them completely by the end of the day, and they're ready to go. And that's how we write these songs. Is, you know, basically, it's just something happened to me a couple of years ago. I was playing ice hockey, and I got hit in the back of the head really hard, and I had to take off like a month. And after that, I'd been on a songwriting tear for like, you know, 15, 20 years.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't sound, you know,
No, I mean, that's awesome that you're able to do stuff like that, because I know there's some people that can work like 3 months on a song, and it just still doesn't come out right. So it's amazing that you are able to do that, because, you know, I've seen bands fall because they don't have enough content and new content to make the people happy, you know, because, I mean, stuff gets stale after a while. I mean, even though it's great music, they don't, it just, when you hear the band playing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, you know, it's good to hear fresh stuff, so you're able to just kind of pump that out, which is great.
I used to drive the band crazy, because before the record was released, I would write a song on stage and say, guys, follow me. It's kind of, let's go in G and just follow the changes. And it would just come to me. And we would just do it in the middle of the set, and the guys would get really frustrated with me, and I'd be like, just follow me. Don't worry about it. It's simple. It got to a point where they were like, I can't play with you anymore. I'm just sick of it, you know? So now that we have the record out, we have to play the record. So it's
right.
Calmed down a great deal. I don't know. Look, I'm sorry. I try to be a modest guy, but, that's the real answer there. I'm sorry.
But see, that's awesome, because that just shows the inspiration, the passion that you have, and it just kind of flows out of you, which is, a lot of people don't have that. And and that's great to be able to have it, especially if you do need something on the fly. You know, let's just say you run into a contest, you need something to go, and it has to be original that's never been out there before. You could probably put something together in just a few hours, which is, you know, great.
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I dream a song, and I have to get up, because if I don't, I'm going to lose it and I got to record it. So at 3 in the morning, I dream playing the song on stage with the band that I never heard of before, and then I got to record it. And then I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Either way, you get cut with something, you know?
Mm-hmm. So tell me about this new album that you have out now. Obviously, you just released a new single that is called Forever For Now. So tell me a little bit about this album. What's some of the theme to it?
Okay, so I'm riding in a car with one of the band members, and he's going off. He's like, yeah, you know, I swear to God, come home. Wife is yelling at me. Dog's got an attitude. This, that, and the other, right? And I'm like, listen to him, and I'm on my phone, and I'm writing down what he's saying. And I'm like, yeah, keep going. Yeah, uh-huh. And I'm like writing a story based upon just like a bad week with a person that he loves to death. But at the end of the day, he's in love. So it was kind of a inspiration by listening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being a good songwriter means you got to listen. You got to be like a therapist, because you got to get the story straight and you got to get the facts right. So I try to do that too. You know, keep it real and make it about real stories in that way, you know.
But you also have to do one step more than that, and that's put emotion into the song so people can feel it and relate to it.
Right. Well, you know, who hasn't felt, you know, that their significant other is driving them crazy for X amount of time, and, you know, just it's becomes frustrating to a point where you feel like it's forever for now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been through it, and I'm sure every guy and, you know, woman out there who's been married or serious relationships been through it too. So
is the name of the album the same as the single?
No, the record's called Rise.
Okay. And about how many songs are on it?
15.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's a full length album for sure. So what are some of your favorite songs on this particular album?
After playing them like a year, I can't stand any one of them anymore. But I want to write another record tomorrow and get it done and get it recorded and have it ready to go out so I can hate them in a year. You know, I it's fun playing the songs. You know, it's a lot of the stuff is inspired by, you know, just like what we used to do growing up. So each one of them, you know, depending on where we are, like we're doing this Jersey Shore Festival, and we have a song called Can't Slow Down, and it used to remind me of the days I used to drive down the Jersey Shore, which was what it was about. So it has meaning for that show, and it's going to be fun to play that there. I like all the songs. I like the more, this one song, See You Again, which is we call it a cowboy song because it's really country western.
Mm-hmm.
That song's always fun to play. Rise is a really good song for me because it's kind of like it was a song written about after being divorced, which I think most guys could relate to. Who have been in that situation before.
You know, I grew up in Connecticut, and the only country station that we had was one country station, and it only came on at really obscure times of the day. And the only other time we would really get to see anything country music-wise at all was on television on TNN. And I noticed that that's changed quite a bit over the years. And coming from New York City, you've obviously played some pretty cool places that are up there, probably some bars and some venues and everything else. What's some of the best places in New York City that has adapted and embraced your music that you really love playing at?
That's an interesting question. Okay, so normally you go into a place to hear your country, you're like, oh God, really country? I don't listen to country music. And then we get done with the set, they're like, yeah, you guys are pretty good. You know that? Like, yeah. So that's the reaction you get up here in New York City.
Yep.
And as you know, New York has gone to the tribute bands. So if you're a tribute band, you're probably making more money than the bands who wrote the song over here.
Yeah.
So, you know, my favorite place is always the place that will allow us to play. So that's my stand on that, official stand. You know, yeah, we've seen you know, a whole bunch of different places locally here in the area. I mean, I always like playing down south. Texas is always a fun place to play. You know, all the festivals are always great. People are really open to anything you throw at them. New Jersey has a really good country scene, so it's great playing out in New Jersey. You go further north into the Rhode Island area, it gets a little more country.
Mm-hmm.
But New York City is primarily a hip-hop town, and, you know, when you play here, all the people who know who you exist come down to the show. There's no country over here in Manhattan.
Right. That's why I asked the question, because I was like, Mike, you know, that you're playing against the birthplace of hip-hop type thing, so I'm like, you know, that's a tough place to play if you're country, but if you can do it, then you can tackle anywhere, which is awesome.
It's hard, you know, I think, you know what? We are a country band,
mm-hmm.
but we are also a country rock band, and I think there's a certain amount of honesty that comes out of our songs because we, you know, I guess the lyrics don't, you know, we don't take ourselves serious. We kind of make fun of ourselves all the time because, you know, we fall into situations and, you know, they're quite relatable with people. So I think in a way that kind of becomes relatable to certain people, you know?
Sure.
And that's what I think at the end of the day. That's why I said, like, country music's all about storytelling. And if the storytelling isn't, you know, primarily about, you know, like the standard, you know, beers and chicks, and there's something more to it, I think people tend to say, all right, let me listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And then they laugh along, but you're like, oh, yeah, I've been there. And I think that's a relatable thing of any band when they can have the audience, the fan base, or, you know, people who first listen, they're like, you know, I relate to that.
Well, I definitely want to be able to play this single, so we're running out of time to be able to get that single on. So please tell everybody how they can find your music, how they can see any tours that you have coming up, buy merchandise, anything else that you got going on.
Well, let me give you my home telephone number. Let's start with that. No, I'm just kidding. Just call me.
Just call
I'll give
me.
You all the info. Well, you know, we have a Facebook page, and it's under Duchesne Band with a double D at the end of band. For whatever reason, when I first got that, Duchesne Band was taken, but by nobody, but I couldn't get it, so I put two D's. I got the site. Find us there. Twitter, Duchesne Band, regular. We have a website, DuchesneMusic.com. What else? So the record could be found in Amazon. You can buy the record there. You can, you know, iTunes it, you know, get it from iTunes Music or wherever else you want. Any outlet that's either sells music or streams it has the record out right now. The record's been out since like late February, so it's still kind of new, but I think it's populated all the right places at this point.
Well, Duchesne, thank you for coming on and having some fun with me. This has been a great talk, a great experience. I wish you all the best with this record and all the other records that you have coming out. And hopefully, if you ever get here to Tampa, I'll be able to come see you. So hopefully
you
you'll be able
Tampa?
To book that. Yeah.
You're in Tampa, huh?
Yep.
If we're off the air, I wanted to ask you a question.
Absolutely. We'll do that in a second.
Okay.
All right. So thank you for coming on and being a great guest, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
No problem. And guys, we are playing the song right now called Forever For Now. And after that, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back after that. Don't go anywhere.
Forever for now. I got- tequila down by the beach. Don't you try to find me, honey, my cell phone is out of reach. Forever for now, I've got me a midnight woman and a dog with an attitude. And at home it's cold as ice in a bed, it's growing long in the tooth. Forever for now, forever for now, forever for now, forever for now. Doggone it, honey, I'm a long gone.
Hey everybody, this is Jason, and I have something I want to talk to you guys about. Last year, as you know, somebody in my family suffered a stroke. These things come on unannounced, and it can cost you your life. Why? Because it's usually from high blood pressure or clots, and you don't know you have these problems because it generally has no symptoms. One way to ensure that you don't have high blood pressure is to test it regularly. But who has the time to do it? You have to sit down, strap a blood pressure cuff on, and take the test. And they're bulky and hard to travel with. Now there's a product called Helo LX. The stylish piece of technology not only looks good, but it tests your vitals all the time on demand. Check your blood pressure, see how many steps you've done, see your heart rate, see how much sleep you get, how many calories you burn. It checks it all while you do what you want to do. Then you can check the results right on an app on your phone. I bought it for my family members, and you should too. To get yours, go to amemagazine.worldgn.com and get it, or any of their stylish accessories. In doing so, you'll invest in your health and help the AME experience get our word out and be the voice of artists everywhere. So what are you waiting for? That address again is amemagazine.worldgn.com.
Hi, everyone. My name is Darius Norman, the author of the new book entitled Rewriting Financial Rules. Have you wondered and needed advice in terms of repairing and building your credit? Do you need strategies to boost and to see quick results in building your credit? Do you need to learn how to protect yourself against financial predatory companies like debt collectors? Well, look no further. Rewriting Financial Rules is the perfect book to give you the step-by-step process to adjust and make those changes financially.
Hi, this is Jamie Lunar. You remember me from Melrose Place? I listen to AME Radio Show.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why they don't explode. You got your hands in my back pockets and Sam Cooke singing on the radio. You say
welcome back, everybody. So we may not be done with the night, but we are done with the show, unfortunately. It is time to kind of wrap things up. We got about a minute and a half left, so we're going to finish it off by first telling you about a brand new venture that I've started. It's called Gladys Goodies. Gladys Goodies started because our dog ate some bad treats that really had a reaction to her because of the fat content and the chemicals that were in it. Believe it or not, ethylene glycol was one of the main chemicals, sending her into a pancreatitis attack, which almost killed her. So we decided to start our own business and create healthy, natural treats for your dogs. So it works with any type of health issues that they may have, but it's also great for the dogs that are healthy to keep them healthy. We have beef, chicken, turkey, salmon, and sweet potato right now, and you can find it by going to www.gladysgoodies.com. And use the promo code OPEN to get 10% off your very first order with us, just for trying us. All right, guys. So we are going to be back again next week, same time, same channel. If you don't know what that is, let me tell you. It's amfm247.com every Friday at 7 a.m. and every Saturday at 5 p.m. You can hear us online or on their 11 AM FM stations across the United States. You can also hear us on WKLAP every Friday at 12 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Two different guests per show, two shows per week, so four different guests per weekend. Check out all of them. You can also find us on Radio Love. That's RadioLUV.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Phoenix Broadcasting Network on demand. iHeart and iTunes also on demand. All right, that's all we have for you guys. We'll see you again next week. Keep those creative juices flowing. Good night, everybody.
That's the end?
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay, that's it.